monitor, my friend, where we'll have a report from the Andy Williams San Diego Open Golf Tournament. Then we'll have all of today's sports news and scores. And say, I have here the oddest sports story of the week. This is from Kingman, Arizona. Ready? 29-year-old Michael Burke was in the Sportsman Tavern in Kingman. He had a kazoo with him, as anybody would. He dropped his kazoo, and as luck would have it, it fell into the pocket of a pool table. Well, he put his hand in the pocket to get the kazoo. His hand got stuck, and the fire department had to be called to chop up the pool table to free Mr. Burke's hand and his kazoo. The owner of the tavern wasn't amused. He plans to sue, which is dirty pool. You know, I think Mr. Burke should have stayed home. Terry Jack didn't. Sings, "I'm Gonna Love You Too." Remarks made by the returning POWs in public so far have been about joy at returning home. Some have thanked the president. One thanked Mr. and Mrs. America. One asked prayers for Lieutenant Kelly. One man was asked about anything humorous that might have happened. He said, you had to have a sense of humor. One thing that was popular among the POWs was the light at the end of the tunnel. We quote, "We looked at that light a long, long time." We have a report on the prison experiences of some of the men from Dennis Trout in Saigon.
American flyers in Indochina used to call the prison camp for pilots in North Vietnam the Hanoi Hilton. The men who came out of the camp last week had another name for it, the hellhole. Yet the conditions endured by those held in North Vietnam were almost luxurious compared to the harsh situation in southern camps. In effect, the Americans captured in the South had to adapt the guerrilla-style lives of their captors. They moved often, and they moved at night to avoid recapture by South Vietnamese or American forces. Some of the first returnees spoke of living in bamboo cages, one said with snakes and ants as a form of torture. Those who were not purposefully armed still had to fight to survive. The prisoners learned to live on a sparse diet of rice, fish sauce, and a few vegetables. Dysentery, tropical skin diseases, and malaria were common. Men could lose 30 or 40 pounds from a combination of sickness and the lack of food. The physical deficiencies can be made up with good food and medical care. But the mental strain of men who live for years at the whim of their captors presents a more difficult problem. The change from that to the life of a free and independent man will be another severe test of the ex-prisoner's strength and will. Dennis Trout, NBC News, Saigon, reporting for Monitor.
Well, at least some of those POWs have come out into the light at the end of the tunnel. Peaceful, easy feeling. We'll have the PGA Golf Report from San Diego, California, in just 1 minute from now here on the Monitor Beacon. Monitor PGA Golf Report from the Andy Williams San Diego Open. Here's Jim Kelly.
Greer, Jim. Jones through the front side, played par golf to remain at 9-under par. He has since just taken a bogey to drop to 8-under par. He is now one shot off the pace set by two-time winner in 73, Bruce Crampton, bidding for his third victory in less than a month. Crampton toward the front side in 34, 2-under par, birdied number 10, bogeyed 11 to go to 9-under par, and Jones, as I mentioned, has just now taken a bogey to drop to 8-under par, one shot off the pace. Hale Irwin and Bob Dixon, both at 7-under par. Billy Casper, Dave Eichelberger, and Frank Beard, all three shots off the pace at 6-under par. Last year, Hale Irwin let a huge lead slip away. We asked Hale this morning about that memory and his thoughts on Torrey Pines.
I really should have won. I lost my concentration out there and finished second. But I don't particularly love the golf course. There are other courses I like better, and there's really no particular reason, I think, why I'm playing better this year than maybe last year or the year before, other than just maybe experience.
That's Hale Irwin, who is currently two shots off the pace, set by Australian Bruce Crampton, bidding for a first-place check of $34,000 that would boost his earnings through the first month and a half of the tour to almost $97,000. Crampton at 9, Greer Jones at 8, Hale Irwin, Bob Dixon at 7-under par. For Monitor Sports, this is Jim Kelly.
Another report from that big golf event later today on Monitor. Dusty Springfield's new one, Who Gets Your Love? We'll have Guy LeBeau's new one, Who Won the Game? Hope it's better than his old one. It'll be next.
Hello, everybody. This is Guy LeBeau at the Monitor Desk. This commentator is keeping check on negotiations between the Baseball Players Association and the Major League owners. They are meeting in New York City at this very moment. We'll keep in touch. But in the event that you missed my earlier broadcast, I reported that I had talked to some of the country's best labor attorneys today. They do not agree with the baseball players' position in which they claim that the owners are invoking an illegal lockout by keeping them out of camp till they sign contracts. My attorney advisors say that the courts will probably rule it is not a lockout. If this comes to pass, it'll be the very first really serious mistake the players have made in negotiations thus far. Thus, the players, as I have said before, are not in as good a legal position as they claim they are. Action around the country. College basketball, a major upset in Omaha, Nebraska. Just in, Creighton, with a record of 12-8, unranked and unknown, beat up on the University of Houston, ranked 7th in the country. The score, 78-77, and Coach Eddie Sutton says this is how it was won.
Our leading scorer for the season, Gene Herman, a 6'5 forward, hit a shot with 2 seconds to go and to win the ball game.
Coach, you played mountainous guys at the University of Houston. How did you stop a whole bunch of tall fellows like that?
Well, we tried to neutralize their size. You know, I don't think we have anything out here in this part of the country as big as they are except silos. And the only way we felt like we could beat them probably would be to go out and press them. And we full court pressed them the whole ball game and tried to spread them out. We do have good overall quickness on our ball club.
This has given Creighton the mental attitude it needs to face Marquette later on this year. Speaking of Marquette, 2 months ago Marquette whipped South Carolina, but that beating was like an elixir to South Carolina. They haven't lost since. And today, they won their 7th straight game, a tough one over Villanova. The Gamecocks used a box-and-one defense for the very first time in the team's history, and it worked. Right after the game, South Carolina's All-American guard, Kevin Joyce, told NBC, how come 7 in a row?
I think the way we've been moving the ball more, and I think just the season getting into way, players learn to play with each other. I think Alex has learned to play with Danny inside much better now that the season's got underway, and that's helped us a lot. Before, I think they were a little confused. They weren't used to each other playing with each other inside.
They have melded. Joyce was referring to teammates Danny Traylor, English, and Dunleavy. This team is now solid and apparently heading for some tournament. Tomorrow at Daytona Beach, Florida, they'll be running the annual 500-mile race for stock cars. Buddy Baker favored. He has the inside pole position, which he won by qualifying his car with the best average speed record of over 171 miles per hour. The defending champion is A.J. Foyt, a millionaire many times over, a great driver many times over, recently, though, quite inconsistent, and lately getting stuck with some bad cars. And as you know, A.J. Foyt can sometimes be gruff. And he wasn't exactly little Alice Blue Gown when I asked him if he's worried about starting back in the pack tomorrow.
I don't know what you call way back in the pack, but I'm starting a fourth row outside, which isn't too far back.
Then you don't consider that a bad starting spot?
I think it's damn good.
AJ, what about the car that you've got? Is it one designed by you? Is it ready for this track?
It's a brand new Chevrolet Chevelle, which we didn't actually run the wind tail nothing. It's more or less a stock production automobile. It's not a special built car, but I think very possible that myself or Cale Yarbrough could win the race very easy in one of them.
You really do, AJ, because the word out is that the Plymouths and Dodges have the inside corner. Is somebody trying to psych you out?
Oh, I don't talk to many people, pay no attention to what they say. There's going to be a race here Sunday. I don't really pay much attention to what people say.
Yeah, I don't, and anyway, you couldn't hear going at 171 miles an hour. A.J. Foyt, though, may have the wrong car again for tomorrow. They say the winners will be some car in a Plymouth Dodge family, and that ain't going to make A.J. any sweeter. This is Guy LeBeau at the Monitor Sports Desk.
Bobby Vinton and I Do.
I don't know. I love you, but I do. About 1911, the world's first economy car rolled off the world's first assembly line. It was the Ford Model T, and it carried an incredibly low price for its day. But Henry Ford, the founder of Ford Motor Company, had this to say about it.
Buy a Ford because it's a better car, not because it's cheaper.
He must have been right. The Model T went on to become the basic, sensible car that helped change the face of America. We feel we've recreated the idea of that old Ford in today's basic, sensible Pinto, the car that's now the largest-selling economy car in America. If you compare base sticker prices, there's hardly a lower one around. But most important, we've engineered the solid little Pinto so well that Mr. Ford's basic idea still holds. You should buy a Ford Pinto for its high quality, not its low price. When you get back to basics, you get back to Ford.
The closer you look, the better we look.
For clear, clean, reliable news reporting, U.S. News and World Report is the best. Read U.S. News for a change. Alfie and the Explosions with Sapphire. This Bill Cullen, older and wiser.